Hi, I'm Ted. I'm an alcoholic. I am standing because I am taking the suggestion of my sponsor. He's the good-looking guy in the middle over there. I thought you'd like that. So like I said, I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Chris, for asking me to speak. It's a privilege. Doesn't really matter to me. I'm already sweating. I got asked, and I had just finished a cup of coffee that I probably didn't need, and thought I was going to literally shake out of my own skin. And then I think I did what I try to do these days, which is remind myself that this program has allowed me to do everything. And through it, I can do anything. And that's been my experience. The other thing that I wanted to say before I really sort of talk about how I got here is that I wasn't chosen to speak because I do this perfectly. And I wasn't chosen to speak for any particular reason other than I feel around and able to be of service. My sobriety date is July 2nd of 2013. I just celebrated 1 year sober. And this is my home group. I remember coming here, all dressed up. Even though I didn't have a job back then, I just really wanted to impress you guys. Sorry, really hot. I didn't say anything to anyone, and I just sat in the middle and tried to look cool and leave. Because if you guys didn't know me, then I still looked cool and still was cool. As soon as you found out who I was, though, as soon as I opened my mouth, then you would know who I was, and that was going to be really bad. And I really think that I can say honestly that I grew up in this room a little bit, and I still have a lot of growing to do. Background. I was born in San Francisco to a really good family, a loving mother, a loving father, older siblings. I moved a little bit. My father had a successful career in banking, and so we moved a little bit for his jobs. I ended up here in New York when I was about 8 or 9. Went to a school that I hated, and right from the get-go, I know now, looking back, that I had this disease before I even touched a substance. Everyone was talking about me in my mind, and everybody was judging me, and nobody liked me, and, it was an all-boys school, and so I thought I had to be, like, super masculine. Mind you, I hadn't been through puberty. they were like, wrestle and speak Latin, and I was like, I don't know what I want to do, but I think I like, myths and, like, fairy tales or whatever. I had no fucking clue. I didn't get along, and I acted out. Part of that, I think, was for negative attention. I'm gonna try and not look at the floor or Spencer's shoes. I spent most of my early childhood and my early years here in New York in my head, and that was a safe place. And, my mom is a wonderful person, but unfortunately, several years back, she was very much an alcoholic and abusive. I didn't really want to be home, and I really didn't want to be at school. So home, in my head, was a great place to be. Unfortunately, when you're stuck in your head, you're stuck in there with a something that is, well, for me, not really good. And I was depressed and alone and I had all these ideas about what was going to save me, namely probably a girlfriend. Mind you, I hadn't been through puberty. I had a lot of dead set ideas. Oh my goodness. I was raised thinking lots of things. Some of them, I can't tell if that was just my surroundings, but like I had this idea, like if I was ever, I don't know, grossly overweight, I would kill myself. Or if I was ever something, I would kill myself. Those were literally that was my solution. It's like, if I'm not cool enough later, I'll kill myself. If I end up being a dork, I'll kill myself. All these, the solution, kill myself. And, you know, that was that, really. You know, as a result of things at home and things with me, I acted out and got in trouble at school. And, you know, just made friends that treated me like shit. One thing led to another. I was in high school. And I got it into my head through watching movies, I think, and just my own whatever, that, pills and alcohol would help. I didn't really fuck about. The first drug I ever did was morphine. I was 14 years old. First party I think I drank at, I was like 12. I was the only one short enough at the party to do a keg stand. I loved that attention so much. Those were like the highlights. Like, I was a nobody until I was short enough at the party to do a keg stand. Drugs in my mind made me cool, and so did alcohol. And so I went out partying at an early age, and I felt like it was easy for me being in New York. I could let go of everything, feeling incredibly alone or feeling incredibly judged. But that didn't always work, even at that age. I sometimes tell people the story of one of my first house parties. I think I was like 14. And while everyone was like in the corner, I was hiding behind a couch crying with two beers in my hand. Fuck. If I had known about Alcoholics Anonymous or anything, I would have been like, I need to get to a meeting or something. Because that's just not normal behavior. One beer would have been fine. Just a series of unfortunate events. I ended up sort of selling pills at school or whatever in the bathroom. And a few people went to the administration and said, this kid is, doing and selling drugs on campus. So they pulled me out of physics class, which is fine, because I fucking hated physics. And I'm sitting in the office and I have literally no idea why. And I wasn't even that scared, I think. And then, they were like, we know what you've been doing. And my whole world crashed. And I think I started to get a lot more open about the fact that I was, like, packing my bags to run away, literally. I had a very romantic idea of what that meant. I had a knife, some money, and, like, some snacks. I was 15, I think. Yeah. This woman asked me, like, where most of my drugging and drinking happened, and I said, well, at the top of my roof, a 15-story building, I would just sort of drink a beer and smoke some weed with my feet dangling off the edge. And she was like, oh my God, this kid. Like, and I thought that was, I don't know, cool, dramatic or something. So she let everyone know right away, which is, in hindsight, her job. So off I go to a psychiatric institution in upstate New York. Was there for 2 weeks. Being crazy was fun. But I felt taken care of. And I felt safe, and that was probably because, you know, I was in a locked facility and I was just taken care of, I guess. I didn't have to worry about it myself. And everybody around me sort of felt like me. You know, we were all fucked up and crazy, and I felt kind of a part of, I think. I got out, and on my 17th birthday, checked into an outpatient rehab center. I don't think it was a 12-step program. But I was getting regularly tested, and I decided that getting high on Benadryl, massive amounts of Benadryl, was a great way to get by the system. Jesus Christ. And that wasn't even comfortable, really. But I did it all the time because I had to be. I had to be out of myself. I finished that program with quote-unquote flying colors, and kept off everybody's radar to the best of my ability. I went to a boarding school after getting kicked out, finally, of that school where I was caught selling drugs. I was there for 2 months before they kicked me out. And they didn't even kick me out for, like, selling drugs or threatening anybody or whatever. I just didn't wake up for class. And that was because I was actually up too late doing drugs, that every time I took, like, this medication that I would take to help me sleep, it would have been physically impossible for me to wake up for class. You know, I get there after rehab, and it was like the second day there, and I was trying to meet everybody, and these kids go sneak off to smoke some weed, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely coming. Just fresh out of rehab, fresh out of a mental institution. There's a pattern, if anyone's sensing it. You know, so after that, I go back to the city, more drugs, more booze. I tell my parents that I think I need help. And I kind of want to please them, kind of know it myself. I go to a wilderness therapy program, kind of where they blindfold you and drop you off in the middle of the desert with bad kids, make fire with two sticks and hike 20 miles a day. And again, after about a month, I loved it. I didn't have to take care of anything. The world was gone. And I was surrounded by my people, and that my people were pretty much what they are now, which is alcoholics, drug addicts, and troubled people. And then back to the real world after that. After that came college. I went out west for college. I was born in San Francisco, so I kind of missed the West Coast. Shout out to the Best Coast. I don't really mean that, I live in New York. Then I found the harder stuff. It wasn't long before I was drinking, you know, something like a half gallon of vodka a week over some girl that barely knew me. Being a little honest here, Jesus. You know, one thing led to another. I found heavy prescription pills, and then before I knew it, I was slamming heroin at the age of 20. And it wasn't, I don't know, like, I was just addicted. I can't really think of what it was like. I did really well in my first term of college. And then after that, everything started catching up with me. Nodding out in class, not going to class, not doing homework, all sorts of things. But I was thinking that I was, like, having fun, you know, doing drugs with all, like, you know, the kid, all these basically dropouts like myself. And then, you know, the money started running really dry, and I started feeling like shit. And I remember one day, it literally didn't matter how much dope I was doing and how much I was drinking, it wasn't working. And all that was happening was I was acutely aware that I felt horrible. No high, really, no nothing, just horrible. The hangovers were coming faster. Hangovers from everything were coming faster, almost like 20 minutes after stopping, really. Everything was horrible. And so out of discomfort, I threw up a prayer, really, and called my parents one day, and I don't think they were very surprised with the rate that I was spending money, et cetera, not calling them. And so off I go to rehab in California. Technically, this is number two. And I kind of started to take it seriously. And I got a taste of what the 12 steps was. And I saw people that had things that I wanted, and they were laughing, and they were enjoying themselves. And I knew that they were kind of like me. Now, here's the problem. I was lying to my sponsor. I was drinking when no one was looking. And I was not at all a part of any fellowship. And in my opinion, that's a surefire way to not have it work, because it's not working yet. My sponsor was a great guy, but, you know, I just wasn't honest. I couldn't be. And so I felt alone again, because I wasn't interacting, really. I was just acting as if all the time. So, you know, before long, I convince everybody around me that it's a good idea for me to go back to my college town. Again, this sort of pattern of me fucking up, me getting everybody off my back, and then, you know, going back out there. And this time, like everybody always says, it was worse. It picked up right where it left off, and it, you know, there was no more light use of anything. I was almost a little mad that I had spent some time clean sometimes, and I just wanted to get right back at picking up where I left off and all the good fucked up times I was missing out on. So, yeah, you know, moved in with some girl. It was horrible, probably because I was horrible to her. Just, you know, always lying about my use, and things fall apart again. I move back to New York, pull a big geographic, run home to mommy and daddy, and I'm not sure if I'm wrong. Running back home, and you know, I took some time off. I drank, quote unquote, normally. And that worked in my mind for a little while until I was at the bar every day. And then I had something like a bad breakup. I don't know, I feel like all this is getting so repetitive. Long story short, I get arrested in Brooklyn, July 3rd. You know, little redhead me who thought everybody thought I was straight-laced. I thought I convinced a lot of people that I was a good little boy. You know, just a little Upper East Sider like myself. And I was the only, you know, the only dude like me in lockup. I was dope sick. I was pretty scared. And I remember watching my father, my father who I've always loved, but never knew how to be a good son. I watched him pick up my things, and I watched him lose his shit. Sorry. I watched him lose his shit with the arresting officer. And I just grabbed a hold of the bars. I could see him, but he couldn't see me through a one-way mirror. And I just fucking lost it. I just cried and cried and cried. When I got arrested, I knew the jig was up. And I had been looking for that. I had been trying on my own. I remember I was going through some of my things. This was about maybe 9 months ago. And I found a couple sheets of this calendar. And on the calendar, right by my birthday, were these numbers, and it was like 8877665. Those were the number of bags of heroin I was doing. And I was trying to taper down. And like the lead up was sort of like, try and be sober on my birthday. And looking at that made me so sad, because that's just it. That's, I don't know, like, that's the insanity, that's the sick and suffering That's the hopelessness. I just couldn't do it. I remember I couldn't do it. I remember, like, all right, well, you did the number of bags you said you were going to do or the number of drinks. I spent too long on this fucking story. That was it. And that was when I had my moment where I knew that I couldn't do it, that I wanted to be done. And pretty much right away, I knew from my experience with AA that I couldn't do it, that I couldn't do it the way I tried it last time, that I couldn't do it without a higher power, that I couldn't do it by myself, that I couldn't do it by lying. And so I got right out. I went to detox, went to rehab, and I've been clean ever since. And I've been sober ever since. And my life then, my life previous to this really hasn't been anything at all like it has been since getting sober. I thought when first getting sober that this program would help me stop drinking. And I have gained some things that I never thought I would have. I just didn't thought I, like, deserved them, or I don't know. Now I have people that I speak to that I think I can call friend, which I didn't have before, really. And some life skills, like the ability to not only know my defects, but try to change them and sometimes succeed. All of that I've been given through this program, and everything that I've been given by my higher power. Some things that I know worked for me. In the first couple of months, like I said, I hid in the rooms. It doesn't work. As soon as I revealed myself to you all, my peers, my people, I got everything. That's when the magic really begins, is when you start to reveal yourself. I unfortunately have a very sick mother. On certain occasions, when it's really been hard for me, I've reached out. And I have been overwhelmed with the amount of love and support that I get from people. And that's the beauty of all of you. And I know this is cheesy as hell, but I'm a sensitive dude. You know, when I look at everyone in meetings that I go to, I feel love for those people. And I don't know most of them. Because who the fuck lies and says I'm an alcoholic at a meeting? Like, you all are probably here because you're like me, and I think that makes me love you. So that step work, trying your best always helps. You get the benefits. I remember the first time I did a fifth step. I talked about this last night. You know, during my 1 hour of contemplative meditation, I played Call of Duty for 3 hours. And I was like, this is working. I did it another time, most recently. And glad you liked that. And, you know, I took that hour, and I learned some things. And it settled. And if there's anything that I know for sure is that if I stop doing these things, if I stop going to meetings, maybe I won't drink. Maybe I won't do drugs. But I will lose everything, I think, that I have been given through this program. I will lose the friends that I have, which mean a lot to me. And I think I have to wrap up soon. God, I don't know. I have heard that it's stupid to hope to say something that will help someone. I just hope that I have said the things that I was meant to say. And I encourage any of you who feel as though, or feel like you might feel, like I might have felt when I was sitting and trying not to reveal myself, I would encourage you to reveal yourself, to take just, you know, a step or two, as many as you can, outside of that zone, because you'll get the benefit. Get a sponsor. I don't know what I would do without the people in my life that I can call, especially my sponsor, when I don't know what to do. And I still don't have that much time under my belt. And sometimes I don't know if I can trust what I'm thinking. So I have to run it by someone, and that helps. So I just want to thank all of you guys for being here, and I want to thank all of you who have supported me, and I want to thank everyone who's just here. So I think that's it. Thanks.